Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. False teachers tend to be greedy. Many have chosen the ministry as a lucrative profession, seeking to build a large following so that they could become wealthy, camouflaging heretical teachings and corrupt morals by lifting words of Scripture out of context. They exploit their flocks. Awful condemnation awaits them. Please open your Bible to 2 Peter chapter 2 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola completes his discussion of verses 1 through 3.
The Bible declares you and I who have trusted in Christ, we've been bought with a price. And we've been redeemed, Galatians 3:13, bought out of the curse of the law. You fast forward to Revelation 5:9, the new song spoken of by the hosts of heaven declare how Christ purchased us with his blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. You need to realize, I need to realize, we need to realize, being born again, born by the Spirit, by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, clearly means that by right of purchase, our lives no longer belong to us. Our lives belong absolutely to Jesus Christ, and the rest of our lives, no matter who you are, old, young, rich, poor, no matter what your ethnicity is now to be devoted to serving the Lord and for his glory. Our lives are to revolve around Christ and around him. Many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. That word pernicious means shameful, depraved, immoral, licentious, destructive. You see, unholy living is always going to be the fruit of false professions of faith. And it's another reason why the truth of God is often reproached. How many times have you shared the gospel with people and then they will give some example of, oh, like David Koresh? I remember after first being put into ministry, I went to a bank one time when it was after some mighty, I think it was Jimmy Swagger took a fall or something like that. I don't know what it was. And so I went to cash a check and the teller doesn't know me. Said, oh, okay. Hello, Mr. Viola. How are you? And where's your account number? What do you do for a living? I go, I'm a pastor. He goes, oh. In other words, oh, so you're one of them. Jude writes about these individuals. Certain men who creep in unawares. They're creeps. They were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men turning, changing, twisting the grace of our God into lasciviousness, unbridled lusts, shamelessness, wanton ways, and by so doing, deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Any teaching of the saving grace of God that allows for the continuation of deliberate, repeated, sinful activity with no need of repentance and confession of sin is a damnable heresy. It's what is called antinomianism. Jesus fulfilled the demands of the law of God for us. But that does not mean that the grace of God has abolished or done away with the moral law of God and now allows us to continue in or practice living after the flesh. You recall how when Jesus was approached about what are the great commandments? And he said what? The great commandment is what? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You know what Jesus is telling us? That the very essence of being, the very essence of following him is walking in the moral law of God that hasn't been done away with. Loving God and loving our neighbor is the very essence of walking in the commandments of God. In 1 Corinthians 13, love does not murder. Love does not commit adultery. Love does not covet your neighbor's spouse. Love honors your father and mother. That's New Testament teaching. Paul the Apostle was accused of preaching the gospel that if you come to Christ, you can live whatever you want. Sadly, many people believe that. But what did Paul do when he heard that? He says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer their mind? God forbid. He's basically saying, have you lost your mind? Do you think Christ died on the cross for us to make us, give us the freedom to be more lawless, more prolificate, more immoral than beforehand? That is simply heretical. The gospel of the grace of God is a message of deliverance from sin's power over our life. It's not a license to disobey God and continue in sin. Now, salvation has a past. We have been saved. We were crucified with Christ. It has a present. We are working out our salvation now, sanctification, with fear and trembling, because God's working in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure, but we're awaiting for the final outcome. Please note, many shall follow their pernicious ways. Jesus said in Matthew 7:13, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereout. By reason of these pernicious individuals, the way of truth shall be overspoken of. In Romans 2:24, Paul says, for the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. And he quotes Isaiah 52, verse 5. So there's a gospel of something that you must do in addition to what Christ has done in order to be saved. Christ did it all. How many of you believe that? To say that he did not do it all and you have to do something is heretical. But let me give you another mark of false Christ, false prophets, false teachers. Matthew 24:24. False Christ will arise, and false prophets that will show great signs and wonders, so that if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect. Notice in your Bibles, beloved, false Christs, false prophets, false teachers will perform lying signs and wonders. The supernatural. Not everything that is miraculous comes from God. How many of you know that? You need to know that. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 5, and in Revelation chapter 13, verse 11, we are told that the world that we live in is being primed to receive the Antichrist and the false prophet because of the signs and wonders that they will perform. How do we know? How do we determine what is the spirit of truth? What is the spirit of error? Well, in Acts 17, verse 10, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word of God with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. You know what they did? They compared what the apostles taught with the word of God. I love this. They received the word of God with all readiness, eagerness of mind. I get the idea that when you come, maybe we should hand out like a spoon and a fork and a napkin so you just come to devour the word of God. Did you come with readiness of mind to hear? According to 2 Timothy 3:16, the way that we test the validity of any teaching or prophecy is by comparing it to the scripture. The way that our government determines counterfeit money is by comparing it to the original. And let me say to you, and I haven't said in a long time, be a Berean and make sure that everything that I teach you lines up with the Word of God. May that be the rule of whatever church you attend, to whatever teaching you hear. Make sure that it lines up with the Word of God. And then going back to what I promised I would originally go back to, verse 3, and through covetousness, through greed, through fraud, through extortion, shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. They will exploit you. They will traffic you. They're a peddler whose judgment now of a long time lingers not, their damnation slumbers not. The word covetous here means the greedy desire for more. More of what? False teacher or false prophet has no real concern for your soul. You know what they want? They want more of your money. They want more people. They want more buildings. They want more fame. It's all about money. In verse 14 of 2 Peter, we read that the false teachers exercise themselves with covetous practices. Somehow, every message, every teaching contains an appeal to you for money. On the contrary, Scripture says that those who are the children of God exercise themselves unto godliness. This word feigned is an interesting word. The Greek word is plastos, from where we get our English word plastic. It conveys the idea of something that is molded, something that is artificial, something that is fictitious. The word merchandise means being used to traffic in business. By their feigned plastic words, these false teachers make merchandise of God's people. Warren Wiersbe nailed it. He said, quote, the false teachers use our vocabulary, but they do not use our dictionary. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 4, and then I'm going to quote from verse 3, 2 Corinthians 11, 13. They are called false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. They preach another, different, counterfeit, spurious Jesus, whom we have not preached. They preach another, different, counterfeit, spurious spirit. And they preach another, different, counterfeit, spurious gospel. They're counterfeits. And they're very intentional about how they do it. Hypocrites are intentional. They're deliberate. They're just not misguided. They're very intentional about what they do and why they do it. It's well known that one of the most successful rackets in the world today is that of selling, quote-unquote, fake art. Some of the finest galleries and private collections have been invaded by paintings that are clever counterfeits of the great masters. In Titus chapter 1, verse 11, Paul writes about those who teach for filthy lucre's sake. And one of their catchphrases is that gain is godliness. Sound familiar? How did Jesus respond to these hucksters who were prostituting his father's house and making merchandise of God's people? Let him speak for himself. John 2, 14 through 16. He found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changes of money sitting. And when he made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple. Oh boy, would I love to see that. And the sheep, and the oxen, and he poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables. And he said to them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my father's house a house of merchandise. That's how Jesus responds today to those religious hucksters who misrepresent the Father by ripping off the people of God financially in the name of serving or worshiping God. Again, quoting Matthew 7:15, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves. Again, the word for ravening is extortioners. They wear sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. They talk like sheep. They walk like sheep. But because they are really wolves, their main diet is eating sheep, fleecing sheep. Jesus in Matthew 23 gave a series of woes to the scribes and Pharisees. And in verse 25, he says, "You hypocrites." In other words, you know what you're doing. This is intentional. You make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but inside you are full of extortion and abundance. If you and I were to go on a trip to Israel, it'd be nice if we all went sometime, wouldn't it? How many of you would like to go to Israel sometime? Well, we're all going to go in the millennium, but how would you like to go now? That'd be good. Maybe we'll try to put something together. Well, when you go to Israel, you see all of these flocks of sheep. They're so stinking cute. There they are, hundreds of them. One time, Lizzie and I went, and one of the shepherds is all of these sheep, and we're next to the feeding trough, and we think, well, the sheep are out there, and how are they ever going to come here and eat? And then the shepherd just makes this weird noise. I'm going to try to imitate. He goes, "Oh, hi, hoo, hoo, what's up, hoo?" And I go, "What's going on?" Then all they come. And every shepherd had this little way that he could, and there they are eating. I think, this is so cool. The Lord's people hear his voice. Well, when you look at a flock of sheep, the ones eating grass are sheep. The ones eating sheep are wolves. Got it? Jesus said, these wolves, don't be deceived, will do many wonderful works. But he will say, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity." But there's nothing new under the sun. The true prophet Ezekiel said in chapter 22, verse 27, "Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey to shed blood and to destroy souls, to get dishonest gain. And her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord has not spoken." I've been, sadly, in meetings where someone has stood in a pulpit and said, "The Lord is telling me 20 of you are going to give $1,000 today to this ministry of faith." Ever been in a meeting like that? You don't have to raise your hand. Let me say something to you who have been here for any length of time or any visitor here this morning. If I ever stand up here and say to you today, today is Triple Giving Sunday. Ushers, go get the offering bags and the KFC buckets. Get your Bibles and run out of here faster than Flash Gordon. Jesus said, feed sheep. Don't beat them. Don't eat them. Don't fleece them. That just felt so good to say that. Now, there's a valid way. We have many needs. Sometimes there's personal needs or there's ministry needs. And there's a way to make an appeal in a godly way, but not the way these guys do it. In 1 Timothy 6, verse 3, "If any man teaches otherwise and consents not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, from which come envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of truth, supposing or teaching gain is godliness. From such withdraw yourself." You know anybody that teaches gain is godliness? Can't teach that in some of the villages that I went to in India. But I'll tell you, some of the people I met there are a whole lot godlier than those hucksters. Oh, bye. Help me. These false teachers, they're destitute of the truth. In other words, according to them, God's will is that you prosper financially. God wants to prosper us. And many times he does. But the Bible says when that's the message, withdraw yourself from them. And they use the holy name of Jesus in order to make merchandise of you. They will make you pay to have them pray for you. Have you ever gotten any of those, the literature in the mail? Now they come through email. I love it when I get things, Dear Brother Vida, I've been praying about your ministry. And God wants you to prosper, Brother Vida. And if you will sow seed of $100 into my ministry, Brother Vida, well, then you will receive $1,000, Brother Vida. I almost want to write to them, why don't you sow some seeds, and I'm not Brother Vida, into this ministry? They're frauds. They're phonies. Beloved, I know that what Peter is saying here and what is found all the way through Scripture is something that is very, very weighty, and we need to hear it. When God says beware, he means it. He means it. I hope you and I take it serious. I can never overemphasize the importance of personal Bible study and devotions. It's wonderful to be a part of a Bible study group. I'd love to see more Bible study groups in homes begin this year. I'd love to see that. That was great. That's how everybody that started a Bible study here, they went out and they started another church by the grace of God. Love to see it. The last days is going to be a days of seducing spirits, doctrines of demons. Paul talks about every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. He said, but Pastor Ray, the congregations are so large. The stadiums are filled. Beloved, regardless of the popularity of a preacher or a teacher or the number of people who follow him or her, do not give him or her a voice in your life, a voice in your family. Don't, unless they repent and come to the truth. And I believe that if their hearts are not fully given over, God gives us a whole lot of grace to repent. Don't you know that? You know, after 9-1-1, I just want to share one more example to you because it was brought out at the end of the last service. There was a lot of emotion going on. Remember, there was a lot of spirituality going on. Remember Larry King Live? Remember Larry King, all right? And so he had one night Joel Osteen. And he asked him, well, Joel, do you think that the Muslims and the Hindus will go to heaven? And he says, well, it's not for me to judge. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. I think it was the next night, Larry King had on a Muslim cleric, and if I start bawling like I did back then, an unsaved rabbi, and John MacArthur. He asked him the same question, and John MacArthur just preached the truth of God about Jesus Christ, and I stood up in our living room, and I said, finally! And he preached the word of God, the truth of God, how Christ is the way, Christ is the truth, Christ is the life. No man enters in, but by him you must be born again. And Larry King couldn't break for a commercial quick enough. Praise God. I'm not here this morning to be critical. I'm not here this morning to be judgmental. I'm here this morning by the grace of God to be faithful to my King. And because I love you. And I don't want you to be deceived. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless
his holy, his wonderful. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. At Koinonia Fellowship, we believe that a church that is moving forward moves forward in prayer. That is why we have time set aside every week for men's prayer, women's prayer, and corporate prayer. We especially want to invite men and women to join us tonight and every Tuesday night for a time of prayer and praise between 7 and 8 p.m. at Koinonia Fellowship,
500 Main Street in East Rochester.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us at 9:30 on Sunday morning and at 7 p.m. on Wednesday for our regular services. Our address is 500 Main Street in East Rochester. Weather permitting, Sunday morning services will be held in Edmund Lyon Park, right next to our church parking lot. Please bring your own chairs and blankets. Please check our website for any last-minute changes. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.